My name is Jocelyn Chow, and I am a child of God. So we arrived in Orlando Tuesday afternoon and had our first session. The message was about identity, hence my reintroduction. The speaker presented three different places from which our identity can be established. So the first was American culture, which tells us that our value comes from what we can achieve for ourselves. The second is American church culture, which tells us that our identity depends on how much we can achieve for God. However, both of these ideas are incorrect, because in fact, our true identity comes from God and is not dependent on what we have to offer to him. Although none of this information was particularly new to me because I've heard it multiple times at church, the speaker said that we shouldn't spend our lives working for God, but that we should spend our lives knowing him. That really hit me because I used to feel self-conscious when I prayed with other people because I felt like my prayers weren't as elaborate as theirs were. I was also slightly self-conscious of the fact that I'd never been on a mission trip. But now I realize that none of those things matter when it comes to my identity. Yes, it is nice to be able to say good prayers, and yes, it is good to spread the gospel through mission trips, but doing so doesn't make me or anyone else a more accomplished person in God's eyes. God doesn't value people for the amount of things that they can do for him. He doesn't look at people and say, I love this person more than I love that person because this person is godlier than that person is. All that matters to God is that we spend time with him. As the speaker put it, what matters most is our presence, not our service. Another speaker spoke about the topic of labeling. He used the phrase leading but bleeding to refer to a person who is hurting inside but who feels the need to hide their pain because of a leadership title or reputation that they have to uphold. It was evident that God stirred in a lot of people's hearts during the session because afterwards, about half of my small group opened up with their own struggles with self-labeling. Personally, I've labeled myself with words such as unlovable and socially awkward, especially after dealing with multiple instances of friend drama that made me lose trust in people. But after hearing this message, I made the decision to break free from the labels I had been giving myself because one, they were lies, two, they were not how God saw me or how he made me, and three, because I have one label and one label only. I am a child of God. Thank you.
So this summer, I was given the opportunity to attend Life Conference 2019 in Orlando, Florida. And this past school year, I faced many insecurities, struggles, and questions which pushed me to attend Life Conference. My intentions for attending were simply for myself, to receive a sense of peace and assurance after a difficult school year. I failed to realize that God had also called me to be a part of the greater picture in his kingdom, and this conference was not all about me, but rather dedicating my life to the kingdom and glory of God so that we can help raise our generation to be one that seeks and pursues him. From the moment we arrived at the airport, I had been filled with my own thoughts. From worrying about the flight to complaining about how hot it was, my mind had only been filled with thoughts myself, and I failed to prepare myself for the coming days, and God was not my priority. When we had finally arrived, I was excited. I expected the few first sessions to be powerful, and I expected to receive a lot. However, during the first few days, I continued to live a life for myself and only myself. Whenever I had attended sessions, I felt as if I wasn't receiving anything, and truthfully, most of the time, I found it difficult to pay attention. Receiving during these sessions were difficult as I had not fully surrendered to God. I had not allowed God to work in my life, and I failed to let go of control of my life and my self-centeredness. However, during one of these sessions, the speaker discussed surrendering control to God. They discussed a new heart came with a new identity. We had to surrender to God to have him move within us. I found this passage to be empowering, as this was exactly what I was struggling with. If I wanted God to move within me, then I had to surrender. I had to let go of all my control and allow God to be the dictator of my life and not myself. After this realization, I allowed God to work within me, and I found the following days and sermons powerful, and I felt closer to God than I ever had. From now on, I will continue to live a life fully surrendered to God, with him the leader of my life.
Andy? Okay. Hi, church. Hi. We are continuing in our series of Church Next. As you all know, and I know there's been a since the beginning of the year, We've been starting the series on different aspects of the Christian faith here at New Vine. You know, the idea of what next for the church. So there have been topics, and I know we've reviewed some of them recently, such as maturing in our faith, serving. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ted spoke on discipleship. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Elliott spoke on building the right kind of house, fear of the Lord and hope in his unfailing love. And with that, we're going to be talking today about the concept of here I am. Now, I know that's a little bit mysterious, but that'll be a little clearer as we go on. So let me just pray for us. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you today and say, here we are. And God, we want to be fully present as you speak to us. And so God, would you speak to us, and would these words be your words? And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I have a question for you guys. In what context do people call your name? Sandy, Elliot, Fong, Kin, Mary. When do people call you? I'm going to see if I can get this up a little bit or someone help me. Thank you, Douglas, Pastor Douglas. So one place people call my name is if I go to Starbucks. They ask you when you pay your money, what's your name? So I give them my name. I don't know if some of you guys do this, but sometimes I like to, you know, play a little trick and give them some other name. The only problem with that is when they actually call that pseudo name, sometimes you don't realize it's you. And so, you know, sometimes I'm standing like, where's my coffee? And meanwhile, like, you know, Astrid's coffee is sitting there and it's been there a few minutes. But for me, when I was reflecting on when someone calls my name, it's usually one of two contexts. One, it's usually a very small person that's calling my name. And it's not usually my name, Cheryl, but actually the relationship, which is mommy. Mommy, I need your attention. Mommy, I need your help. Mommy, come over here. And I have to admit that sometimes, as much as we love our children and have wanted our children and prayed for them, that sometimes it gets a little hard and I get a little impatient. So there's this concept that maybe some of you have heard. It's called curtain call. That happens, and it generally happens when it's past some people's bedtime. You try to put them down quickly, you close the door, and there's a curtain call. And that curtain call is like, mommy, you know, so time for a second appearance, and then a third appearance. You know, and usually it's over some sort of question like, oh, you know, when you were eating dinner, why did you sit this way and not the other way? You know, something really important. But, you know, those are kind of the times that I get called a lot. I think our small group knows that I don't always have the best response to these curtain calls. So, you know, a lot of times I'm trying to like rush so I can actually sit for the Bible study. And there's inevitably always, like I think Bao can attest to, there's a mommy, you know, and so I go there and I'm always like, what? And so it's not really the most pleasant of responses that I have towards the children during those times. So that's the first type of call that I think I get when my name is called. The second time, or the second person who calls my name, probably the second most, is Douglas. And when he calls my name, usually that means I'm in trouble. Either he needs my help, but more often I've screwed up something, and that's when I get called. So, you know, I realized that beyond those two circumstances, there are very few circumstances where my name is actually called. Like if I go to work, you know, you show up on time, nobody really calls your name. You just show up and that's it, you know? But let me ask you this. Does God ever call your name? Have any of you heard God call your name? Would you even know if he called your name? And if he called your name, how would you respond? Or how should you respond? Would you respond to him, and I hope not, in the same way that I respond to my kids in sometimes irritation or annoyance? I hope not. You know, in the Bible, there are a few examples where God calls a person by name. I think one of the most famous examples And we're not going to go through this entire chapter because I have another chapter in mind for today. But one of the most famous chapters is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where there's a young boy named Samuel. And I'm just going to paraphrase this really quick, where Samuel is called by God. And if you haven't read it, Samuel was a young boy who was living under the guardianship of a priest named Eli. And as Samuel was going to bed one night, he heard his name being called, Samuel. And, you know, he just, as we probably would have thought, it was his guardian Eli calling. So he ran over to Eli and said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so this happens two times, three times. And so finally, on the third time that it happens, Eli discerns that it's actually God calling Samuel. And so he instructs Samuel to say, "All right, this time it happens, then you should say, speak, for your servant is listening." And sure enough, Samuel does that, and God begins to speak to him. So my presumption today is actually that actually God has called each and every one of you by name, whether you know it or not. And today what I want to focus on is what our response is to God when, not if, but when he calls your name. So now we're going to turn to the passage that we have for today. I'm going to have you guys, we're going to read through the whole passage, chapter 22, verses 1 through 18 in the book of Genesis. So if we could stand and read this together. 1, 2, 3. After these things, God listed Abraham to him. "Abraham, here I am," he answered. "Take your son, your only son Isaac, you love, and of Moriah, offer me there as mountains. Tell you how Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took with him his young man and his son Isaac, to go to the place God had told him about. The third day, two of them walked on together. Spoke to his father Abraham and said, 'My father.' He replied, 'Here I am, my son.' Isaac said, 'Fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' God himself will provide the lamb, burnt offering, my son." The two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. Found his son Isaac and placed him on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son, and Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." Today it is said, "It will be provided on the Lord's mountain." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. All the nations of earth be your offspring, because you have obeyed my command." You may be seated. This is the word of the Lord. Now, this is a very famous passage in Scripture. It is one of the turning points in the book of Genesis, actually in the entire Bible, one of the huge turning points. It's significant in a number of faiths. As an example, in the Jewish faith, this secures the everlasting covenant that God makes with the Jewish people to bless them and favor their descendants. For us Christians, this is profoundly significant, not only for the covenant that God makes with the Jewish people, but because this scene is a foreshadow of what is to come when God makes the ultimate sacrifice of his own son, Jesus, nearly 2,000 years later, when he sacrifices him on the cross. And at that time, then a new covenant is made between God and man, between all those who call on his name. And so in this passage, as you read it, you might have noticed that there were three times that the phrase, "Here I am," appears. Now, this term, "Here I am," is in Hebrew. There's a term for it, and the Hebrew word for "here I am" is hineni. Have you guys all say hineni? Hineni. Now you can speak some Hebrew. I think when we read this in English, the translation doesn't completely do justice what the full meaning of hineni means, or "here I am." In sort of digging around and learning about this term, hineni is not just a physical presence, as we casually say, "Hey, here I am," but it's actually an intention of a term to mean that you are fully present, physically, spiritually, mentally, like everything is really present, that you're fully poised to take on an assignment, a readiness or an acceptance of a mission, a trust or vulnerability to do whatever is being asked. Interestingly, there was a special hineni prayer that is said during the High Holy Season in the Jewish faith of Rosh Hashanah. And there's a very powerful prayer that's said when the person that's singing, or the cantor, beseeches God to ask that his prayers would be received favorably despite his personal shortcomings. And in that prayer, you know, he says, "Here I am," or hineni. There are actually other great hineni moments besides this one that we see in Genesis. So I'll just call out a few, and we're not going to go through all of them, but just I'll paraphrase. One of the most significant ones is in Exodus 3:4, when God calls Moses from the burning bush. And so the bush is burning, but it's not getting burned up. And God calls Moses, and Moses says, "Hineni, here I am." And as many of you know, that sets off, you know, an entire journey for Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Another well-known, but maybe lesser-known one, is in Isaiah 6:8, in the call of Isaiah. And in this passage, Isaiah 6 begins with a vision, a majestic vision of the Lord, where the Lord is seated on the throne, and the train of his robe fills the temple. And out of this amazing sight that is too amazing to be completely grasped by words, there's a voice that says, "Who shall I send, and who will go for us?" And out of that, Isaiah says, "Hineni, here I am, send me." And so we see that, you know, in these moments, these hineni moments, you know, you really see, God speaking, calling people out, and the person responding, saying, "Here I am, God, whatever it is that you want of me, I am here." And so let's go back now, actually, and explore a little bit more here in Genesis 22. We'll go right here. Perfect. So here in Genesis 22, in the very beginning of this remarkable passage, we see in verse 1 here, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.'" So if you're like me, I'm wondering, after these things, well, what things? What are these things? So because I had a little time to look this up, I just read chapter 21. So what happened in chapter 21, the chapter before this? So in the chapter before this, in which these things are referred to, there were a couple things that happened. So three things. So in chapter 21 of Genesis, three things happened. One was the birth of Isaac. And so Isaac, just as a quick context, was the miracle child of Abraham and Sarah, the much longed for child after many years of infertility. So that's one thing that happened in chapter 21. also in chapter 21 was maybe some not so great things in which Hagar was sent away with Ishmael out of the family and into the desert. And for those who may or may not have heard this context before, Hagar was the maidservant of Sarah, who had a child with Abraham named Ishmael. And Ishmael was born out of Sarah and Abraham's impatience of sorts, or desire to take things into their own hands because they had not yet heard God's promise. And in chapter 21, Abraham and Sarah, you know, essentially send them out into the wilderness. But they were okay. God had a promise for them. And then in also the final thing in that chapter is kind of a scuffle, a land scuffle between Abraham and this ruler of a local area, this guy named Abimelech. And they fight over a well and some well water. And so there's some dispute there. And Abraham swears, you know, to protect him. And, you know, anyways, there's some disagreement and they call a truce. But, you know, when the Bible says here, after these things, God tested Abraham, it reminds me so much of when miracles or great things happen in my own life. It often comes with some mess that I'm knee deep in. So on one hand, you have this amazing miracle of Isaac happening. On the other hand, there's this mess that's going on that happened with the mistakes that I made around Hagar and, you know, this whole well around Abimelech and this kind of drama that's going on. I realized that, you know, I think when I was younger, I used to think that, oh, once I got through something, then I could follow God. Or once I got through school, then I'll focus on God because then my life would be less messy. But I think, as we all know, our lives just get messier and messier and messier as time goes on. And there's actually never a clear time where it's just like easy to follow God. So I think just even that first part, after these things, really spoke to me. But here, in the midst of his mess, God decides to test Abraham, and he calls him Abraham. And so if you can imagine, I think hearing all those things about chapter 21, for Abraham to respond in such a way, Hinene, is actually no small feat. I mean, I think it's easy for us to read here that, you know, to say, oh, here I am. But actually, I think it's actually, it was quite a sacrifice for him to say, here I am, God, whatever you want to do with me. And what's amazing is that, so God gives him this crazy challenge, you know, the challenge that, you know, I think like the worst challenge possible that you could ever think of, which is to take his son and sacrifice his son. You know, I mean, you look at it and you say, I ask myself, Abraham, why didn't you fight back at God? Just like you fought back about Sodom and Gomorrah and like bargained with God to like, you know, say, okay, you know, less, you know, there was that famous passage where Abraham, you know, basically tries to ask God, you know, if there's only, you know, how many, you know, hundreds or tens or whatever people to that he would save Sodom and Gomorrah. Why didn't he bargain with God and say, don't take Isaac? You know, you gave him to me. Why did he just so willingly say Hinene to that? And it looks like, you know, obviously we can't know exactly for sure what Abraham was thinking between verses 2 and 3, but I can imagine that Abraham struggled with this charge that God gave him. My guess is that he probably was like maybe praying, God, take this away from me. My guess is that he probably didn't sleep that night thinking, you know, is God really asking me this? How could he be asking me this? But yet what is recorded was Abraham's obedience. And it almost looks like that without a beat, he wakes up early the next morning and he loads his donkey and he takes two servants and Isaac. Hinene, Abraham truly meant it when he said that. So that's the first Hinene. Where's the second one? All right, let's flip here. You know, so they make their way up the mountain, which, you know, is absolutely like mind-boggling, you know, that you would, you know, be able to take your son up this mountain. And then his son Isaac speaks to him. And you notice that this time the henene is not to God, but it's actually to his son. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father, Abba." And Abraham replied, "Henene, here I am, my son." You know, and at first glance at this passage, I thought, oh, you know, this is just conversation between a son and his father. But I realize actually there is significance in this henene. And in Hebrew, it's henene bene, which is like, I am present, but towards you as a person, as opposed to God. I actually think that there's significance and meaning here. So here it is. Abraham is following God on this crazy mission, and yet his son or somebody in his life is calling to him, and he makes the choice to be present to him. I will say that this convicted me as a parent, because so often I'm too busy to be bothered. You know, I'm texting someone, or I'm doing something, or I'm maybe doing something busy for God, or maybe I'm doing something busy for work, but I'm not present for my child or present for those around me. I'm a very task-oriented person. I don't know if any of you could relate. I enjoy checking the check boxes off my mental to-do list. Or, you know, if any of you have Alexa, there's a shopping list, and I have delight in like, I bought that, it's off my shopping list. And then it gets deleted off. So, you know, I always am like thinking about the task, but this henene bene reminds me that Abraham was present for Isaac. And what's amazing, it's not the kind of I'm present for you and you are like to the exclusion of everything else, which I think sometimes happens to parents today, where, you know, like the focus is only on, you know, is only on the child to the exclusion. But you see what Abraham does is that he points Isaac to the father. He says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so even in this, his presence to Isaac, he's teaching Isaac. He's probably shaking in his boots thinking, oh my goodness, what is going to happen? But even in that, he is present to those around him. You know, I think spiritual greatness is not just following God, but actually being aware of those who are in your life every day. And then we come to the third here I am, which is in 9 to 12. And in this henene, we see that Abraham is in a point of absolute pain. I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like. There's this painting, so you can flip to the next one, done in the 1600s. It's kind of dark, so it's hard to tell what that is. But this is a painting by a Italian painter, Caravaggio or something like that. But it basically depicts, the angel over there on the left stopping Abraham from killing or slaying his son Isaac, who's kind of lying there in agony. Abraham was in a point of utter pain. And he was so focused on doing this, which he felt God was calling to him. And what strikes me, and we can go back to the passage, was that even in the midst of this pain, Abraham still says, "Enene, here I am." You know, he still responds to God. I mean, if that were me, I would be like, God, this is too much. I am not here. I am checked out. This is the last thing. I mean, I'm not even sure I would. I mean, I just don't think I would go through it. And yet he's still present and available to God. And so this convicts me. God, are we ready for you? What is our response when you call us? I think for me, this passage really spoke to me, or the concept of here I am really spoke to me. It was maybe a month or two ago that I was reading through, and I believe it was the Samuel passage, and it just said, "Here I am." And it just, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit just really struck me. Like, and I was convicted that I'm not present. Like, I'm not present before God. Like, you know, I think specifically, like, there are times, now, the thing is, you guys have to know, and I think I've talked about this, I love my sleep. And, you know, even more, like, than, like, that I have kids that wake me up, like, I cherish my sleep even more. And so, like, I just get cranky if somebody wakes me in the middle of the night. And so, but there have been times, and I don't know why, that I've sometimes woken up, and God just struck me in that moment when I was reading that I think I missed something. I actually missed something that God was trying to do that night. And I don't know what, because I decided I would, like, just do whatever I need to do to get back to sleep. And I realized that, and I just reflected that there were moments in my life, you know, maybe at night, maybe in other opportunities, that I missed the opportunity to say Hinene to God because I was not fully present and aware of what God was doing. And what I realize is that, I mean, I think the Bible points out these big Hinene passages, right? Isaiah, Moses, Abraham, like, okay, we're not them, right? But I actually believe that we all have Hinene moments, that God will present each and every one of us with an opportunity to respond to him. And I don't think that, you know, God starts there. I think he starts with our everyday life. And so for me, Hinene convicts me, you know, in the midst of my kind of crazy life with screaming kids. I mean, even this morning, you know, they were like punching each other, you know, and like closing the door, each other, slamming it on them. And I was convicted as I was praying this, like, to be present, like, what is really, you know, the underlying things or, you know, or attitudes that are going on, or the causes, or the root causes. Hinene means being present to whatever God is calling you in the moment that you are right now. You know, I recall when, before we had started New Vine, we were charged to basically kind of go out and be aware and ask God to bring members of the community and to ask God to lead us. And I just remember that for me, that was a big shift to be present in my community. I mean, we had always lived in our community, but for whatever reason, I just didn't really notice as much the people around me. And so after that charge, it was like our eyes were open. And all of a sudden, like, you know, there's a guy in a park that we just, like, said hi to and, you know, became friends with and, you know, connected with. And, you know, Douglas and him are still friends, you know, to this day. And we pray that he'll come back to New Vine one day. But, like, it was like, wow, God was like doing things right under our nose and we had no idea. I mean, we just were not present. We didn't have that kind of Hinene, like, here we are in the present moment attitude. This week, a couple of us just finished this backyard kids club at our house. So 21 kids at our house, 5 days for this week from 9 a.m. to 3:30. I'm exhausted. but I was really impressed by our sister and brother, Dean and Connie, who noticed the people in their own community, like their friends, Toby's friends, you know, who plays basketball with Toby or is their classmate. You know, they invited them and they came. I mean, it was, you know, like being present to what God is doing, you know, in their lives. It was amazing. And they were just lovely children and families that we got to know. Hinene. I remember Quinn, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was getting my haircut at the same place that I've been getting my haircut at for now maybe 20 years. Is that right? Maybe since we got, you know, maybe not 20 years, 15 years, 15 years. We got married 14 years ago. It's about 15 years. Same place that Douglas has been going and his whole family. Like, this is like, it's a family of hairstylists. Like, the parents and the son, like they all do. So they like do my mother-in-law's hair, they do Douglas's hair, so then they do my hair. I've been going for them, and they've been going in for like eons and eons. And then Quinn walks in, and this is the first time that she's ever been to this hair salon. She didn't know I was there. She just walks in, and she, you know, looks for the guy that we also get our haircut from. She goes in, she gets her haircut. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know, my hair's getting, you know, washed or dyed or whatever. And Quinn's amazing. She like shares her testimony with Johnny, the guy who is there cutting the hair, like her whole testimony of how God brought her from New Jersey. And no, it was lovely. I mean, I was really, really touched, actually, you know, and how God brought her from New Jersey and really touched her heart and changed her. I mean, she really seized that moment, you know, to just, you know, whatever moment that God presented before her, to take every opportunity to just share the love of Christ. I mean, it was absolutely touching. Hanani, you know, being present. So my question is, what prevents us from being present in the moment? So I'm going to go to the next slide, Genesis 3. So it's a step back in time. But Genesis 3, 9 to 10, and this is a passage that happens after the fall of Adam and Eve. So after they take the bite of the fruit, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" What would have been the appropriate response? Hanani, right? I'm here, I'm present. But instead, what is Adam's response? So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." What is it that prevents us from being present? Oftentimes it's fear, just like it is here with Adam. Fear prevents us from being ready. In this particular instance, you know, it was Adam's fear over his shame of his sin, the recognition of his own brokenness and his broken state. But other times, it could be fear of, are we capable enough? Are we good enough? Or fear around our own identity or security. Are we able to do what God is really asking us to do? A fear I have is that God that's really speaking? Or am I just like making things up? You know, also in this past month or two, you know, this reminded me actually of, we were trying to, our goal, as I had shared with you guys for that Backyard Kids Club, was 20. And it was the end of school, and we had only hit about 16 or 17 kids. And I just thought, okay, that's it, end of school. You know, here it is, we're done. You know, that's okay. You know, God, you're still going to show up with the 16 or 17 kids. And then that was one of the few days that I made it to school with all three kids and showed up. And so basically, if I do show up, then some of us that are not in school, the two younger ones and I, will just spend some time on the kindergarten playground, because that one goes to school a little bit later. And there on the playground was this lady who I've, you know, met before and talked to at times on the kindergarten playground. However, she is like the cool lady, right? I mean, I'm not in high school, but I think you know what I mean. She is like, I think, a 49ers cheerleader. Is that right? Used to be a 49ers. So, but you can imagine, right? She looks the part. She's beautiful. She's always like all made up. Even when she's wearing like yoga pants, she looks amazing. Her hair is amazing. Her kids are beautiful. She's beautiful, you know, and like beautiful car, beautiful house. She was on some cooking show. I mean, this is like beautiful lady personified, right? And I heard this, like, I don't always hear stuff from God, but I heard God prompting, like, go ask her about Backyard Kids Club. And I was like, Amber? Like, I don't want to, like, even she has a beautiful name, right? Like, Amber? And I'm like, she's not going to want to, I'm some, like, frumpy looking, like, no makeup, hair everywhere, like, you know, right? It's just the surface it is. But, you know, I'm always like so self-conscious. And I'm like, I can't ask Amber. Like, I'm some like dud, you know? And like, you know what? Like, this is not high school. Like, what do I have to fear? But like, and then she was like talking to somebody else.
I was like, okay, well, she's talking to somebody else, so I'll wait. And then, like, you know, and then she went away. I'm like, see, she just wanted to talk to someone else. It just, whatever. And it was so interesting because this week, one of the moms said, hey, you know what? Amber goes to our church in Menlo Park. She was helping out at the VBS all week, every single day. And I was like, so convicted. I bet if I would have asked her, she would have come, and she probably would have helped. Like, I just assumed, you know, someone so beautiful, like, she couldn't be Christian. She wouldn't help out at a kid's thing. Hanene, don't fear. When God speaks, be present, even if it's crazy, even if it's like talking to the cool chick and you're not the, and you're the dud, do it. So in closing, I want to ask you guys to spend some time. And Elliot, I'm going to ask you to come up and play some kind of background sort of music for us to really just spend some time with God. I want to ask you guys, what is preventing you from saying, here I am, God? Not just here I am physically, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally. What is getting in the way of you saying, here I am to God? Maybe there's some fears that you have. Maybe there's shame. Maybe there's doubt. Maybe it's filling up your life and your life is, you know, too noisy or too busy that you can't be present because you're always looking to that next checklist. As you kind of reflect about this, I want to remind you that in, the end of that passage of Genesis 22, Abraham sets up this altar and he names it God Provides, which is in Hebrew Jehovah Jireh. So I think I've heard of Jehovah Jireh before, but I had forgotten that it was from this passage, where it means God provides. And I also want to remind you, we're going to flip to the last one here, that the ultimate Hanene is actually God is here. So God says to us, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. And so not only is God wanting us to respond, but he's reminding us that he is there. So I just want you guys all to take some time to just ask God. And then we'll close after that. So God, we just want to confess before you the fears that we have. The fears that we have of really just following through what you have convicted us of or what you have told us about. We want to confess our fears of not being able to do what you've asked us to do. We want to confess fears of not being worthy to do what you've asked us to do. God, I also want to confess fears of not believing that that's your voice that's actually speaking, or fears that you don't speak to us. And so, God, we just pray that in these coming weeks, would you speak clearly to each and every person here in this room today. And God, would you prepare our hearts that we would be diligent to remove out every distraction, every barrier, every excuse that we have from coming and saying, and having a state of benene, of here we are, here I am. And so, God, we just say that we want to be here. We want to be with that here I am state so that when you call, we're ready. So I want to say, if there's anyone that's here that has never called on the Lord, their God, at all, I want to give that opportunity to someone. So at the end of the service, we'll pray with you. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want to learn how to have a relationship with God, we'll also have an opportunity, if folks want to come up for prayer, to just pray for God's speaking in your life and your response. And so, God, I just want to say that we want to bless every single person here today, that we would truly prepare our hearts to receive all that you have for us, that we would not miss the opportunities that you give us just every day in our homes, in our communities, with our families, with our friends, in the grocery store, at the park, walking down the street, at work, that Jesus, that you, we would be ready when that time has come. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.